the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Dave, that drum was kind of loud.
Yes, it was.
Dave is the most jolly person in the studio this morning. That's and we're right. so grateful.
That's
and
it right. just the lifts our spirits. Magic of caffeine. Today is the feast of
St. Pedro de San Jose Betancur.
Thank you, because I couldn't pronounce it. We have it on a loop here. So St.
Pedro.
Pray for us.
Yes. Amen.
All right, okay.
We probably ought to get started with a prayer, huh? Well, today we're going to start our day with a prayer for vocations. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, we thank you for calling men and women to serve you in your Son's kingdom as priests, deacons, and consecrated persons. Send your Holy Spirit to help others to respond generously and courageously to your call. May our community of faith support vocations of sacrificial love in our youth as well as our young adults. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We will learn more about our saint of the day later on during today's show, but at 10 after, we have some events in our listening area we will give you details about. You can find all of these events and so much more at our website, ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Gary Zimak joins us. He's a Catholic author, an evangelist, speaker. The list goes on and on of what he does. And looking forward to having him join us today as we dive into some scripture together. In 35 minutes, Danny Fitzpatrick joins us. You probably know him from the St. Louis the Ninth Art Society here locally. Well, he wrote a book, and it's called Restoring the Lord's Day, How Reclaiming Sunday Can Revive Our Human Nature. So Danny's going to be giving us some details on his new book. And in 48 minutes, Noelle Delery joins us. She's a spiritual director. And today we are going to be talking about spiritual direction and intercessory prayer, how that can help others and form a deeper relationship with God. So maybe you've never dove into intercessory prayer. We're going to be talking about this. We kind of discussed it a little bit before, but I know we have new listeners all the time and those who have entered into the church looking to enhance their prayer life. So we'll be talking about this with Noel. Looking forward to that conversation. Mm-hmm. And Damian, looking forward to your weather report. How does the weekend look like for us?
Well, we're going to start the morning off with quite a few clouds, but the sun will peek in and out and pretty much be that way throughout the day. High is going to be close to 87 degrees, low is 70, winds south-southeast at about 10 to 20 miles an hour, only a 10% chance of a shower. Tomorrow, we'll see the same conditions, only windier. In fact, breezes and a gust could be up to 25, 30 miles an hour. Outside of that, Sunday will be a carbon copy of today and tomorrow with a high of 88. Breezy, slight chance of rain and showers. Come Monday, though, that's when we're going to see the wet stuff. About an 80% chance to get our week started off. Hmm. Currently, temperatures in and around the area. Gulfport at 73, 64 in Covington, 72 in Homotibido, in New Orleans at 70. And in Baton Rouge, 68 degrees. So everybody warming up nicely. Should be a great day, great weekend to get get out to Jazz Fest, the Zurich Classic. If you don't want to go there, go out in your yard, go picnicking, fly a kite. You'll have all those options available to you.
Fly a kite. I like it.
Wow.
Don't go too far. It's 5 after the hour. We've got events, gospels, and more here on Wake Up.
A good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
This passage serves as the introduction to Jesus' farewell address on Holy Thursday. Jesus began with words of encouragement that are reminiscent of Moses' bolstering of Joshua, who was charged with leading God's people into the Promised Land. Jesus dispels the anxiety of his apostles and those who will come after them by reminding them that as they trust the Father, so they should trust in him. We live in a society in which anxiety has reached near epidemic proportions. This is the natural consequence of relying on ourselves, not God. Jesus subsequently told his apostles, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." St. Paul gives us the flip side of the statement when he wrote, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me." This apostle also gave us a valuable lesson about anxiety. He wrote to the Philippians, "Have no anxiety about anything." And then he gives the remedy, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We can trust Jesus because he perfectly fulfills the offices of prophet, priest, and king. As the prophet, he is the preeminent channel of truth. As our king, he is the way of salvation by assuming the role of the suffering servant. And finally, as our great high priest, he is the one who is the only conduit to eternal life because he is life itself. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. God, who came to save us, will never let us down. So therefore, we can say with the greatest confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sayers.
It's 10 after the hour on this Friday morning. So glad you could be with us and turning your heart to the truth. And we are going to tune you into some events that we have coming up. At St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, they're going to have Women's Morning of Reflection tomorrow morning beginning at 8 a.m., and it will go until noon. There will be a continental breakfast, which will be from 8 to 8:30. 8:30 is when everyone heads to the church, and they will hear Father Mike O'Connor and Deacon Calvin Audemars do talks about a particular topic. That I don't know. But you can go to ccmedia.live, get some details, and they will be glad to answer any questions you have with the phone numbers we have there for you.
There you go. There you go. A Beginning Experience has a program on May 17th through the 19th to help those who are separated, divorced, or widowed. Many people who have suffered a loss like this feel left out by their church, uneasy around the married friends, and uncertain about their own future. Beginning Experience can help you through this. To register for this three-day session and to get some more information, just go to ccmedia.live.
There you go. Our Lady of Hope Retreat Center in Chattanooga, Mississippi is having a men's Bible study this Saturday, April 27th. If you'd like to get there night before, or if you'd like to get there the night before, there is a Bible study taking place tonight at 4 p.m. For an overnight hangout. It's an opportunity to socialize and have dinner with fellow Catholics. There is a Bible study only opportunity for $60, but there's also Bible study plus overnight hangout that's $120. So All of this information is on our website at ccmedia.live. I cannot believe it's already April 26th.
Yeah.
Time is just flying. May starts next week. So definitely check these out because time is moving. You don't want to miss these events.
That does sound like a good one, though. I'd like to do yeah. that one time, that hangout.
Yeah.
I know I can't tonight, but boy, they have more, you know, but I'm going to go to one of those.
Every month. Just
that sounds really nice. Yeah.
Faith and Marriage, along with St. Peter's Catholic Church in Covington, are hosting two married couple retreats at St. Joseph Abbey. The first one will be May 18th and 19th, and the second will be the following weekend, May 25th and 26th. This is your opportunity to continue to grow together in faith and love as a couple. For more information, go to faithandmarriage.org.
All right. And Crackpots, Blessed and Broken, a personal loss support group. Crackpots is a grief ministry for mothers who have lost a child or children. Crackpots meets monthly at 9 a.m. on the last Monday on the month at St. Aloysius PCS Conference Room. All mothers who have lost children are welcome. For information, call Mary T. DeBruy. For more information, go to ccmedia.live. We'll have that phone number and person there.
I just could not get over the fact that the camera was on Damien for much longer than I think he wanted it to be, and it made me laugh. So,
okay.
if you are watching, I'm very confused. Well, another event taking place tomorrow, April 27th, from 3 to 7 p.m., Most Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church is having the Battle for the Paddle, a crawfish boil, and family parish picnic. This is so exciting. This is taking place in Baton Rouge.
Yes.
Food, inflatables, music, balloon animals, face painting, the list goes on and on. Take a look at ccmedia.live for this wonderful event taking place this weekend.
Have y'all had much crawfish?
I have not had crawfish yet this year.
Really?
I can't wait.
I had one.
Gabby?
I had one.
I had literally one.
Yeah. I went last night, St. Jude Men's Club. We had our annual crawfish ball. So I got my own battle of the paddle
there. Usually this is late in the year, so the crawfish are bigger and harder. How are they now? Because this is a weird year.
They were perfect.
Okay, good.
So anyway, I enjoyed them. By the way, tickets are still available for Women's New Life Clinic Saved in Hope Dinner in Baton Rouge. The event is May 8th. It's coming up quickly. It's at Drusilla's Ballroom with the patron party beginning at 6, followed by dinner at 7. It's going to be a great event. It's a good event to support. If you want more details, go to ccmedia.live. We've got more on Wake Up. It's 15 after the hour on Friday.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 26th. Today we celebrate St. Pedro de San Jose Betancur. Today's saint used to ring a bell as he walked through the wealthy parts of Antigua, Guatemala, begging alms for the poor and urging repentance. That same bell was rung almost 350 years later during his canonization ceremony. Pope John Paul II presided at the ceremony for Pedro de San Jose Betancur, Central America's first saint, in July 2002. An estimated 500,000 Guatemalans were present. Pedro was born in the Canary Islands around 1619. As a young man, he traveled to Central America, arriving in Guatemala City in 1651, eager to spread the gospel. Though he longed to be a priest, he lacked the necessary intellectual skills. He became a secular Franciscan and devoted himself to prayer and works of charity. He opened a hospital for the sick poor, a shelter for the homeless, and a school for the poor. Pedro attracted followers who in time became part of two new religious congregations, the Brothers and Sisters of Bethlehem. He died of pneumonia at age 41 and is buried in his beloved Guatemala. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collada and Gabby Smith. And right now we have an old friend. He's not old, but we have a dear friend joining us again, Gary Zimak. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, David. And yes, I am old.
I had to pull my foot right out of my mouth there.
No.
I don't think it's a coincidence today that the first line of the disciples is Jesus said to his disciples, do not let your heart be troubled. And here we have Gary Zimak joining us. How about that?
Yes.
No coincidences. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, David, good morning. Always good to be on with you. Isn't that what a great gospel today? What a great message.
And that, yeah.
You know, when I hear that, and, you know, I speak about this a lot, I write about it. When I hear that, and the Lord says, do not let your heart be troubled, that it reminds me that there is some control I have over this. You
right.
know, I can't control how I feel, but there's something I can do to respond to my feelings of fear or dejection. I can try to turn to him. I can read his words in the gospel. I can pray. I can go to mass. There's something that I can do, and I think that's important for all of us to remember. He would not say, do not let your hearts be troubled, if there wasn't anything we could do about it. So that the key is to keep close to him, to keep approaching him in prayer and through the sacraments and through reading scripture, even when you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I'm going through right now. I've been kind of flat lately in my spiritual life, my feelings. But I still pray every day. I still go to Mass every day, even though I hate to say it on the air, but sometimes I have to force myself because I don't feel like it.
Right, right.
But that's what love is all about. You know,
no.
you do things intentionally if you love someone.
No, you're absolutely right. Sometimes you've just got to really just push yourself. That's great things that don't always happen and come your way. You know what, Gary? There's a lot of folks that are joining us for the first time on the radio and watching us on television and our stream and everything that haven't met you yet or know who you are. Gary has written many books, and he gives talks all over the country and everything really about not worrying and living. You know, How to Stop Worrying, Start Living is one of his best-selling books, and I just like I said, you're giving us when you come on with us. Sometimes it's on a Monday, and I just feel great for the rest of the week. You're going to make me feel great for the rest of the weekend because you're showing us what our priorities are, what we should be concerned about, but more importantly, what we should not be concerned about.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that, David, because this is something I live too. I tend to be anxious. That's how I'm wired. And I, one day at a time, sometimes 1 hour at a time, have to turn to the Lord for the strength I need to make it through the day.
Yeah.
And he does give me peace, but it's not always peace that just, you know, takes away all my problems and makes me feel good. It's a deeper peace that lets me know that he's with me. I don't necessarily feel him, but I know he's with me.
Right.
And I know that if he is allowing something to happen in my life, he intends to bring good out of it. And yeah. I just need to cooperate yes. with the grace to find that good.
You always talk about this too, and how many times Christ has said, peace be with you, or do not be troubled and everything. It is throughout the Bible, isn't it?
It is, both the Old and New Testament. That message is contained hundreds of times, and there's a reason for it, I'm sure. It's because we're afraid, and we are troubled. He knows it,
yeah.
because life is hard. We live in a fallen world. It's difficult. This is not heaven. And, you know, one of the things I intended to talk about today, I'm really glad we're taking the direction we're taking.
Yeah, I kind of chased a rabbit here. I'm sorry.
I love it. Let's do it. Let the Holy Spirit lead us. But one of the things I wanted to talk about today is something that hit me the other day. We're still in the Easter season.
Yeah.
This Sunday is the fifth Sunday of Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy to lose that enthusiasm.
Yes.
The alleluias are fading a little bit. It's like, oh, yeah, wait a minute. Jesus rose from the dead.
Right.
We forgot about it. But that's the, you know, and I think it's important to remember that when we're looking for that hope today, when we're looking for that boost, to remember that he rose from the dead. That means everything he promised is true,
yeah.
and it also means he's alive.
Yes.
So somebody like me who needs the help of Jesus, if he was dead, he wouldn't be able to help me. But the fact that he's alive means that he is here with me today. He promised he will be with us forever. I'm not going through life alone. He's going to give me the grace I need. It's all because he's alive. So the other day I was going to daily mass, and my wife and I go to daily mass, and I was thinking, you know, I'm kind of forgetting about the resurrection. I mean, it's in the back of my mind, but I'm losing sight of the alleluias. And I said, Lord, you know, help me to remember. Help me remember how important this is. And the opening song at Mass that day was Jesus Christ is risen today. And I said, thank you, Lord. So, you know, we all need that reminder, but he is alive. And that's something to be hopeful for and to be able to, you know, to face the day knowing that the Lord is with us. He's alive. He rose from the dead. And he's preparing a place for us in heaven.
Yeah.
So that's good news.
It's huge news because I'm sure that's why the Easter season is as long as it is. But yeah. Gary, what you said is exactly right. When Easter comes and goes, for a lot of us, it lasts about a week. You know, we finish all the chocolate rabbits and the jelly beans and everything, and then it just fades away, right? How do we keep this in front of us? You know, this Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. How do we keep this in front of us throughout this season?
It's difficult, but one of the things that I like doing is, during the Easter season, the first reading is always the Acts of the Apostles for daily Mass. And the Acts of the Apostles shows how the early church reacted to the resurrection of Jesus and how they carried on his message. He was very much alive to them, and they were empowered with the Holy Spirit. And they did some great things. They faced persecution, but they kept on going. They kept sharing the message.
Yeah.
Jesus is alive. And everything's going to be okay, not necessarily externally, but, you know, in the long run, that there is a heaven. We're going to get through this life, and God willing, we're going to make it to heaven. So the Acts of the Apostles, the daily Mass readings are perfect for, especially the first reading throughout the Easter season, for reminding us of what we as a church should look like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think also, Gary, it's important to keep in the back of our heads, too, when we have anxiety, whether it's through something we saw on social media, something we saw when we turned on the news, is that the Lord is allowing these things to happen within our families, within the world, within our country. What is he asking us to do at this moment in time? You know, many of us don't have the opportunity to go and stop this or not do that, but what can we do right now? And sometimes he's just allowing us or asking us to be still and to pray and to trust in him in that moment, in our house, on the couch, in front of our computer, wherever we are. You know, and so I think that's something that I have to constantly remind myself is I can't control what's going on right now. But what is he asking me to do at this moment in time? And sometimes when you're really going through those storms, it's a minute-by-minute, day-by-day scenario that he's walking you through.
You're so right, Gabby, and I think that point is critical to remember that if he's allowing something to happen, he has control over it. It's not just happening without his knowledge. The Lord is sovereign. He's in control. He's all-powerful. So if he is allowing something to happen, not that he ever wills evil, because he doesn't, but he permits it to happen for a greater good, and that remembering that is incredibly important. And it's something that, you know, this message never gets old.
Right.
This is a message I need to hear every day. I start my prayers each morning with, Lord, I know you can hear me. I know you can see me. I know that you're bigger than any problem I can ever face. I'm not telling him something he doesn't know. He knows that. But I need that. I need to hear it every day to help me. So I'm glad you brought that point up. That's the secret. This is not an accident if something bad is happening to me. He's allowing it to happen. And and my role is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Like you said, how can you use me? Like, how do I respond to this, Lord?
Yeah.
I think that's the key.
Wow. Wow. And also keeping in the forefront, Gary, you always say this, what are you in control of and what are you not in control of, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The one thing we can always do, no matter how bleak it looks, no matter how not in control we are, we can pray.
Yeah.
We can always pray. And that's, you know, that's good to keep that in mind and to give up that control that we never had in the first place. We think we're in control. We're not really in control of anything.
No.
Except our will. The Lord gives us control of our will, but that's it. But to surrender that to him and say, Lord, your will be done.
Yes. Yes, just that repetition, just keeping that frame of mind throughout the day, it will give us peace. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate people like you who we need somebody else out there to bring us along and say, hey, don't worry about that. There's no need to worry about that. So, Gary, that is so important. Hey, Gary, you got some incredible books out there. Where do we go to purchase these books?
Dave, the best place is followingthetruth.com, which is my website. And by the way, my new book is pre-orderable now, my Advent book, Find Peace in Advent.
Saw it.
Coming out in a few months, but is able to be pre-ordered now.
Because Advent will be here in the blink of an eye, but we're not going to worry about
now.
That's right.
Exactly.
Okay. Gary Zimbach, once again, thank you for joining us. It is good to hear your voice again. We hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. You guys are doing a great job. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Take care.
All right. God bless y'all.
Yes, indeed. Bye-bye. What a saint. What a necessary man to have around, isn't it?
He was promoting his Advent book on social media, and I got so excited. That's
about
my
Advent?
Favorite liturgical season. And you have to get all the seasons. Gary just has to get all the seasons, right? He has Lent covered. Need to get Advent covered.
Advent is a preparatory time. So, yeah, absolutely. All right. When we come back, Gabby's going to be talking to Danny Fitzpatrick with the St. Louis Knights Art Society. It is the bottom of the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up.
It is 35 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. And our next guest is Danny Fitzpatrick. He is no stranger to Wake Up. He is part of the St. Louis and Ninth Art Society. And he's also an author of the new book, Restoring the Lord's Day, How Reclaiming Sunday Can Revive Our Human Nature. Danny, thank you so much for joining us again. I can't wait to kind of dive into your book. We're kind of continuing on from our segment that was just before you into how we can really connect with God this time from the Sabbath.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks so much for having me on again, Gabby.
Definitely. So take us through this. Restoring the Lord's Day. This is something I think we kind of need a reminder of from time to time. But take us through it. What can we find in your book?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, the book kind of starts with just some personal reflection. So I think, so for me, probably like many people out there, you know, either you yourself or, you know, you can remember your parents or grandparents talking about, you know, like when I was a kid, all the stores were closed on Sundays. And, you know, people just, they went to mass, they had a big family meal, spent a lot of time together. And now it's obviously very, very different from that. I remember also as a kid, and I think a lot of people can identify with this too, like we went to mass and it was a great, wonderful time. But then also on Sundays, I felt a lot of stress and anxiety just as I started to think about, you know, the school week coming up. And I was like, I got to get all this homework done. I got that test coming up on Tuesday. And that would start to kind of mount up. And really just make the end of Sunday kind of a stressful day. And I had this sense like, this is not how it should be, right? Sunday ought to be this moment of like joy in the resurrection, and that joy ought to spill over into the rest of the week. Whereas what I found was like the anxiety of a lot of the rest of life was kind of intruding on Sunday. So the book kind of looks into, you know, we are in kind of a strange cultural moment in that we really have, as a culture, lost Sunday as a day of authentic rest, a day of worship dedicated to the Lord. And so it kind of asks, you know, number one, how did we get here? A clue that I had was a lot of authors write about aseidia or sloth as being the kind of predominant sin of our age, which sounded very strange to me because we think of sloth as just kind of laziness. And we don't seem to have a very lazy age. Like everybody seems very busy. Everybody's hustling. Everybody's grinding. But I was also struck by a line in St. Thomas Aquinas's Summa where he says that aseidia is a sin directly against the commandment to honor the Sabbath. Right, so that kind of really cemented things in my mind that, okay, if we have an age that has abandoned Sabbath observance, right, that's probably a pretty good sign that these folks are onto something, that we really are a slothful age, right? And sloth ultimately is just, it's a rejection of delight in God's love, right? It's a sadness over God's will for me And what does God will for me above all else? Happiness in his presence forever, right? And what is Sunday but a moment in which we're invited in to taste that divine presence. We're invited to experience a taste of heavenly blessedness and be transformed so that all the rest of our lives are a taste of that as well. So the book kind of looks into that and then looks into some ways later that we can help get back to authentic Sunday observance.
I think it's also important, Danny, that we point out the fact that you are a young adult and yes. what you and I have experienced and grown up kind of in the same, time is not how our parents grew up or our grandparents grew up. And we hear the stories and you have taken me back to, I would sit in church and have anxiety over what I didn't do over the weekend because it was an LSU football game the day mm-hmm. before and we had a huge party. And now the schoolwork is mounting up. I have a test on Monday. Now that we are young adults, how do we get back to reorienting our family life to really observing that Sunday and that Sabbath when we have days to prepare for something like that? Because the culture is here. It is happening. We can complain. We can moan and groan. It's here. Right. So how do we fix our family to getting back to that?
Yeah, so I think it ultimately comes down to this, right? So God wants us to be with him in heaven forever, but he wants us to begin to be with him now, right? So St. Augustine talks about how a lot of our problem is we just really struggle to be in the present, right? And not just in the present in terms of like a YOLO type lifestyle, but but in the present as in looking to God now. Right. In every moment and everything that's going on, directing our gaze to God and returning his loving gaze that's always directed to us. So I think fundamentally, I mean, just to put it in kind of general terms, anything we can do to be more present to God. Right. And I think that involves a lot of things like putting away technology right, when possible. Mm-hmm. I know for me, my iPhone is the single biggest distraction from being present to God and then being present to other people around me, right? Which is what God wants for me, right? He wants me to be present to my children and my wife and my students, right? And everybody I encounter, right? That they're all part of his will for me. I think doing things like going out into nature, experiencing good art, good music. And of course, I mean, fundamentally, the liturgy, right, having a life that's grounded in the liturgy and in the kind of liturgical rhythms that the church gives us throughout the year. All those things kind of train us to be present to God and so transform all the other moments of our lives.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also important that it is okay to say no with the many activities that we're being invited to or that are pulling us. We can say no and say, you know, I'm going to dedicate this time, this day to our family life. If you're in South Louisiana along the Gulf Coast, we are being blessed with some beautiful weather right now. Taking advantage, like you said, to go out in nature, take a hike, walk on the beach if you have that opportunity, walk around the neighborhood. Go to a park. There's so many ways to really connect with God on that Sunday to really reorient yourself. So, Danny, for those who don't know, you are part of the St. Louis and Ninth Art Society. We talk to you quarterly to talk about the Joie de Vivre issue of that season. But many want to know where they can pick up a copy of your book called Restoring the Lord's Day, How Reclaiming Sunday Can Revive Our Human Nature.
Yeah, so I would really encourage people to go to the Sophia Institute Press website. I think that's the best place to get it. Just support the publisher directly. If you have a Catholic bookstore that you love, there's a decent chance that they have it already and a 100% chance that they can get it there. It's available on Amazon, but I'd encourage people to pursue other avenues if they can.
Most definitely. Yeah, 100% agree. And Danny's over in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and we talk about the St. Louis and Ninth Art Society real quick. Tell our listeners a little bit how they can get to know that and take a look at some local Catholic artists and support them.
Yeah, so the St. Louis and Ninth Art Society is just this amazing community that's dedicated to beautifying and restoring our already extremely beautiful region. You can go to the website, sl9art.com, and check out what we're doing there. We also have the JDV Journal website that people can check out. And it's a growing, vibrant community, and I really encourage folks to get involved.
It's a beautiful issue as well. Danny was on with us just a few days ago to talk about the spring issue of Joie de Vivre. Danny Fitzpatrick, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Gabby. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Well, Damien, we have some time to plan on how we can spend time with family this Sunday and really focus our intention on what Sunday really means and focusing on our relationship with God, kind of reorienting ourselves. So
very much so. Yeah, it's I'm hoping, you know, the younger generation will make the commitment to Mass. You know, we tried to hand it down as parents, but it doesn't always stick. And it's sometimes you have to come into your own before you realize the importance of attending Mass, not only on a weekly basis, but a daily basis, if you can, as Gary made reference to earlier in the show. So, okay. Noelle Delery is next. Minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back to Wake Up. With us now is our guest, Noelle Delery, spiritual director, here to talk about spiritual direction and intercessory prayer and how to form a relationship with God through prayer. Good morning, Noelle. Welcome to Wake Up.
Thank you. Good morning, Damien.
So glad.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, glad to have you. So let's jump right into this, because I feel often people overlook spiritual direction, and then when they pray, they may not even know how to pray properly, especially when it comes to intercessory prayer. Let's start with that, if we can.
Okay, well, yeah, spiritual direction is very helpful to learn how to deepen our relationship with the Lord. A spiritual director can give tools and help to facilitate that relationship, giving suggestions for prayer. You know, everybody's unique, and everybody has, each person has a very unique relationship with the Lord. And our spiritual growth really is all about coming into that very unique and special relationship we have with Him. And so it's a relationship. And so we need to spend time with the Lord in prayer to develop that relationship, just like to develop a relationship with a human person. You know, we have to spend time with them, and we have to listen.
Yes.
And so spiritual direction helps us to listen to the Lord speaking to our hearts, because we need his words of love. We need his words of encouragement. We need his words of guidance, of direction, or else how do we know what's best for us in our lives? And so I with regard to intercessory prayer, the most powerful intercession, and intercession is prayer for others, the most powerful intercession is when we let the Holy Spirit guide our intercession, because we don't know what's best for a person. We tend to pray for the obvious, for the apparent need, when so often the Lord is wanting a much deeper grace, something that has more eternal consequences. So if we ask the Holy Spirit, show me how to pray for this person, show me how to pray for this situation, and then he'll show us. He'll guide our prayer, and that is so much more fruitful than if we just pray and ask him to do what we think he should do for a person or situation, because we don't really know. So it all comes back to listening to the Lord. So often people, they'll talk to the Lord a lot, but then they're not listening to what he wants to say to their heart.
Right. And so how does one ask the Holy Spirit to help intercede on prayer, or for whether it's a loved one or an event or something that's close to them?
Well, it's very simple. You just ask the Holy Spirit. You take the time to ask him, Holy Spirit, how do I pray for this person? Or how do I pray for this situation? And he speaks to us in different ways. Some people will just get a sense of, I should pray for peace. It might be some people get an image in their mind's eye that will guide them as to the grace to pray for. Sometimes it might be a scripture. Sometimes I'll ask the Holy Spirit how to pray for a person, and I'll get one of the scriptures in the gospel where Jesus talks about faith. And I'll know that he's wanting me to pray for deeper faith for them. Sometimes it's just it's an insight. You know, that's how God so often speaks to us. He's very gentle. And sometimes we think it's our own thought. Sometimes we think it's our own idea when it's him speaking to us, and showing us something.
Today's gospel, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, he's telling us, what to do and how to follow. Is it okay if you don't ask the Holy Spirit during your intercessory prayer? Are you okay with that, where you can still have a one-on-one relationship with God or Christ?
Oh, yes. Of course you can have a one-on-one relationship with the Lord, even if you don't ask him how to pray. But and he will honor our prayers. Of course he honors our prayers, even if we don't ask him how to pray. But his will is perfect, and we know that he wants what's best for us. And so it's more powerful. Our prayers are more effective when we ask him, when we seek his guidance. So I am, in my teachings on intercession, I'm trying to help people go deeper and to empower them with the knowledge and understanding to make their prayers more effective, because they're praying. Just like in our lives, our lives bear more fruit when we're following God's will, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we seek his mind and heart, like, Lord, what do you want for my life? Rather than us just deciding without asking him. So similarly, with intercession, yes, he will bless my prayers, even if I don't ask him to show me how to pray. But wow, when we ask him and he shows us and that's how we pray, we just see so much more fruit. And gosh, we want our prayers to be that much more fruitful. I've seen it, over and over.
Yeah, yeah. Noelle, in regards to spiritual direction, we got about a minute left, and I advise everyone to find a spiritual director, but that is not easy. Quite often they think they have to go to a priest, but that's not necessarily true, right?
That's not necessarily true. Lay people who are trained in spiritual direction can be excellent spiritual directors. The important thing is finding someone who is trained, because it's important to learn how to direct people. There are certain tools that are important to learn, and they have great programs all over the country and here in the Archdiocese of New Orleans to train people on how to be spiritual directors. So someone who is trained, someone who has a good gift of discernment, and a good way to find a spiritual director is to ask your friends who have spiritual directors who is directing them, and then calling that person to see if they have availability. And then you usually meet with them like a preliminary meeting to see if it's a good fit. So you don't have to commit to them before you meet with them.
That's right.
And then to prayerfully, ask the Lord, is this the person you want to be directing me?
Very good. Yes. And check with your church parish. They usually have a list of individuals who are available. Noelle, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Damien. You have a blessed day.
You continue your good work. Noelle Delery, thank you for being with us. Gabby, the week is over as far as Wake Up is concerned. It was great.
I know.
And you got big plans for the weekend?
We don't, and I kind of like it that way. We've said no to a lot of events because we just needed time to spend with family, kind of relax a little bit. Yeah, because May, you guys, the calendar is a little nuts in May. So as we, end the month, we're going to relax this weekend. How about you?
We'll be heading to my wife's side of the family, and we'll be visiting some folks over in Lafayette area. So that's our plan for the weekend. Yes. In the meantime, we're going to wrap up with a prayer, as we always do. And we ask the good Lord to listen. And also we ask for all of us to intercede on this particular prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, take away all my fears. I know that my true good is to be found in loving you and following you. Give me the strength to obey the Father and find the eternal life that I seek. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Father Todd Lloyd, pastor at Most Blessed Sacrament Church in Baton Rouge, will talk about the Feast of St. Catherine of Siena, which is on Monday. Dr. David Whitten over at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University will have a theology lesson for us, and so much more. Thank you so much to Jeff Blackwell, our audio director, and Karen Cotton, our video technical director, for a wonderful show today and this week. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.